Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the CCWG New GTLD Auctions Proceed Call held on Wednesday, the 27th of March, 2019, at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And we do note that Sebastian Bachelet is on the audio bridge only. Are there any others? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it back over to Erica Mann. Please begin.
Thank you so much, Andrea. Thanks so much for your help and support. So it's Erica on the call. Let's go and check if we have an update concerning the conflict of interest declaration.
Actually, Erica, it's
yes.
Mira, and I
no,
think we agreed to,
you,
yeah. to. Yeah, I think we agreed to have a roll call.
You want to have a roll call? You just not want to know who
yes,
is on the wanted to next, but you want to have a roll call.
Oh, I do, and here's why. I think we should state our name, our organization, whether we're a voting member or a participant or an observer, so we can figure out then how we advance more
certainly
engagement.
We can do
so
this.
Could,
certainly,
it's
no.
Not a long
Andrea, can you do this?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. Let's
on today's call, yes. So I will state everyone's name, and then once I state your name, you can go ahead and state the rest of the information that was asked for. We have
yes.
Marilyn Cade.
I am this Marilyn Cade. I'm the CSG voting representative.
We have Emily Crane Pimentel. I'm not sure if Emily is on the line. I'll move on. Jacob Odame Baden. Judith Hellerstein.
This is Judith Hellerstein. I'm with At-Large and voting member.
Thank you. Yolfo Fingus. Okay, we will move on to Maureen Hilliard. Maureen, I'm not sure if your audio is connected.
Hi, can you hear me, Andrea and Andy? This is Maureen Hilliard. I'm from At-Large, voting member.
Thank you. And we have Stephen Derhick.
Stephen Derhick, representing CCNSO. Thank you.
And Vanta Scartazzini. I think Vanta is having some audio issues. We also have on the audio portion only Sebastian Bachelet. Okay.
Hello, Sebastian Bachelet speaking. I am on my car, sorry, driving, but I am member representing ALAC Uralo. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. And then we have Carolina Kiro. Okay, I think I have gone through all of the participants and those who are able to speak have spoken.
Yes.
I'm sorry, we do have Martin Baderman.
Yeah, and some have typed.
I just joined, yes.
Like Carolina, she typed, but she didn't state her status. So some are having difficulty in the moment. So what we will do, Marilyn, that's my recommendation. Let's see this as a test for today, which we have done. We will repeat this next time. We will put this in the agenda as well, that we are planning to do this for the future purposes, so we exactly know who are on the either members or participants on the call, and we it's easier to remind ourselves each time instead of checking the document. There's just one thing, maybe we want to be careful. It's not, I think we have to be careful with the term voting members. I mean, they are members, but I'm not aware that there's a difference, you know, in voting terms. Yes, in case we will have to vote, of course, a member will have different rights. That's correct. But we, in this group, we agreed at the very beginning that we like to have at the very end a kind of consensus call based on what their groups and the SOs and the AC believe what would be the right policy. So maybe we can avoid a situation where we come to, you know, where we have to really, we have to vote. But let's maybe have a discussion about this topic next time. Let's put it on the agenda, because there may be more members than probably and participants who want to join this discussion. But I see you raised the hand, so I give it back to you again.
Thank you, it's Marilyn. I'm just going to ask us all to go back to the terms of reference. Yes, we want to make decisions by consensus, but I believe for those of us who were sent by the chartering organization that we have obligations to fulfill.
Yes, absolutely, and that's why it's good that you raised the point, and we will have to discuss it. Totally agree.
Fantastic. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Marika, I see you raised your hand as well. Please.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. One thing we could ask members and participants to do is when they sign into the Adobe Connect room, is that when, you know, they put behind brackets, you know, whether they're a member or a participant, and if they're a member, they should probably also indicate who is the appointing organization. I think that will also help you then kind of see, you know, whether, you know, we have critical mass and mass and representation from the different groups that at the end of the day will indeed you know, participate in the consensus call, and hopefully as well for the rest of the group provide more clarity on what role the different people are performing. I did put a link into the member and participant list, and I know that some people in identifying themselves as members, while they're not listed as such on the list, and just to clarify here again, you know, this group consists of members and participants, whereby each chartering organization had the ability to assign up to five members, if I'm not mistaken, and as Marilyn noted, with very specific responsibilities in that regard, while anyone was invited to sign up as a participant. So it's also important indeed to you know, remind ourselves of those roles and responsibilities. And as said, you know, maybe putting that role in brackets for future meetings might facilitate identification and also clarity on you know, where your perspectives are coming from.
Yeah, it's Erica. Thank you so much for reminding us, Marika. And I saw the exchange where you made a comment. I believe it was in relation to Judith. So I think it's important to check in case the document gives a different answer that some of our participants in this group are giving concerning membership or participant. This needs to be clarified, and I believe it would be good if you would follow up and just check the situation, and we have it then on record in correct terms. Is it okay that we pick up the topic and we announce it next time what we are planning to do? Are you okay with this, Marilyn, and can we continue?
Perfectly satisfied. I just have to be accountable, Marilyn speaking.
Yep.
I just have to be accountable to the CSG.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, and it's good to do it and clarify a few points as well. So it's always good to be very precise. Thank you for this. So then let's go back to the question whether somebody has an update concerning the conflict of interest declaration. No, it's not the case. Okay, then let's continue. The next item is something, point three, is something the leadership team discussed. We had a longer call, and we are a bit concerned with the time constraints, which we do have, because we believe it's important that we finalize the final report as early as possible, as quickly as possible. It's not really reasonable to continue for over a much longer time because the money shall be used and should not be, you know, stuck in an endless circle of debates and discussions about how it can be used. At least that's my opinion, and I believe it's shared by the leadership team. So our question is whether we can, or how we can ensure that we have sufficient commitment from all of the members and the participants to do the work. We have a core team of members which are always present, and you all, I mean, carry the majority of the burden, and there are, of course, more members than we have today, typically, but it's still probably not enough to allow us to finish the work as early as possible. So I made a proposal in the leadership team, and I mentioned this in the GNSO discussions which we had recently as well, that I would love to see us concluding in ideally in Marrakesh, because I believe it's important to have a goal and to have a time commitment instead of having an open agenda, which is much more difficult than to confine the time available with regard to the topics which we have to master. So that's the main topic we want to discuss under this umbrella. So it's the question, do you believe we can manage this until Marrakesh? Do you believe we can get the commitment from the core, not just the core, but a broader team of members and participants than we have right now? And how do you believe we should do it? How should we advance it? Shall we have more frequent calls, which I believe is a burden, or shall we just request and ask if we can have a longer call session? So instead of having 90 minutes, going for 2 hours or for 3 hours even, just to make a quicker process. So this is what we discussed. My question, and there's one other item I want to mention because I raised it in the GNSO and you may have heard about it. I was wondering whether we should have an additional day, a zero day, or an add-on day in Marrakesh. Now, I follow the discussion in the GNSO Council concerning the EPDB requesting something similar, and I see how difficult the discussion is. So my feeling is it might be even not reasonable even to request this formally, because it looks so difficult to get this arranged, and that it might be not even worth trying, and we spend a lot of effort in trying instead of maybe focusing on other matters, how we can achieve something similar. But I just want to mention it here, and you might have some other ideas which we haven't discussed in the leadership team. So that's the topic I like to present to you. Anybody who wants to comment on it? Do you believe it's reasonable we can manage until Marrakesh? Maybe the first question.
Erica, I have my hand up.
Oh, I see it. No, sorry. I don't know why I can't see the stuff. It somehow my Adobe is never showing the stuff. Apologies for this. Marika, please.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. So I just wanted to briefly highlight what you see on the screen. It was also shared with the agenda for this meeting. Staff did a kind of quick and dirty timeline, trying to get us to the Marrakesh meeting for a final report. And I think, as you can see, it's pretty aggressive, and at least I think from a staff perspective, at this stage in the current pace of work, not a realistic one. as you know, there's still quite some comments we need to review. You know, there are quite a number of working group agreements that will require further work and consideration. And then, of course, you know, there needs to be a further discussion on, you know, what the final report will look like. And so, hence, you know, the conversation. If, you know, I think the first question is the group committed to a Marrakesh target date for finalizing the report? And if yes, you know, what can the group do to be able to deliver on that? And I think Eric already mentioned a couple of options on how that could be achieved. And with in relation to, you know, the Marrakesh meeting and planning itself, and Eric already noted that as well, you know, the request has been brought to the attention of council leadership that as they prepare the GNSO schedule for Marrakesh, that you know, sufficient time is carved out for the discussions of this group. But of course, you know, it's important to know that you know, the meeting is a policy forum, which means there are only 4 days available. I know that, I think at least from a GNSO perspective, I think we typically get two rooms that are assigned to the GNSO, which are basically shared with stakeholder groups and constituencies, as well, of course, the other policy activities that are ongoing. So there's typically less flexibility in having you know, several meetings in parallel. So all of that will need to be factored in. But as I said, you know, I know the council leadership is aware of the request and, of course, will do its utmost to provide as much time as possible. It may be helpful as well if indeed the group is committed to that timeline and you know, the Marrakesh meeting would be a you know, important point to kind of finalize the work to make sure as well that there is sufficient participation to you know, make that a productive meeting. I think you're all aware that you know, we did have to cancel the second meeting in Kobe because there weren't sufficient participants available. So I think we do want to avoid that, especially if you know, carving out time for this effort means that other groups will not be able to meet. And of course, it would be very unfortunate if then we would need to cancel because there's lack of participation. So again, I think those are some factors the group will may need to factor in. That's it.
Yeah. It's Erica. Thank you so much for the reminders. Marilyn, please.
Thanks. Marilyn speaking. I guess I have a couple of concerns about trying to complete our work by Marrakesh. First of all, it's very unlikely, but I think we have to be careful that many of the members, the voting members, and I don't mean to be dismissive of the rest of the views. We want to have consensus, but we have to have present at these meetings the majority of those who have to then deliver support from the charting organization. It's very unlikely that Marrakesh is going to provide, unless it's a pre-event or a post-event, it's very unlikely that Marrakesh meeting can provide a workspace of a minimum of, I think, at least 4 hours, which would be needed to finalize much of our work, if we even meet the timeline the staff has laid out before that. I find it very, very challenging. I'm not even sure it could work. I think we should pick a slightly extended timeline and push forward on achieving decisions. But we're not going to have a public session in Marrakesh. And I think we also have to be respectful of the fact that many people won't have travel funding to Marrakesh. So I would prefer we work toward what we can accomplish, assume we cannot meet face-to-face in Marrakesh. It would be highly unlikely to get enough people there who have funding to attend, and then have an agreement that we have a marathon review, including maybe even a couple of webinars post-Marrakesh, and then present our report. Trying to take into account that those who cannot attend in person can still fully contribute.
Yeah, it's Erica. I tend to, I'm worried. Let me not say I'm not worried, but I believe you and Marika's concern are probably correct. I must say I personally regret this because it's not really helping the end goal. It might help us to have more participation in the decision making, but it will make it, the money will be frozen even longer before it can, even the process of building the implementation team can start. But I hear you, and Marika raised the same concern, and I hear you. And I, like I mentioned, following the debate in the EPDB and in concerning arranging a meeting, I believe you are probably right. This is going to happen. There will be less people will have funding, and it will be very unlikely to be able to arrange a worthwhile meeting. Okay, can we maybe get some other opinions so that we just have an understanding between this group? What do you believe? Is it worthwhile pursuing the course, even trying for Marrakesh, or is rather more reasonable to follow the concept Marilyn just laid down? I'm fine with both approaches. Stephen, please. Stephen, can you hear me?
I say we try to shoot for Marrakesh. We've got to get this wrapped up, and otherwise, I think we're just going to run out of gas here. Thank you.
Yeah. Marwin.
Marwin, for the record. I agree with Stephen. I think that we have to try and get as much done as possible, even with the small group that we have, and it's been for some time now. And I also think that I'm actually sort of like finding it's probably better that we, for at large, is that we review our membership and participant sort of like status, because we ourselves have people who attend regularly and have been on the participant status, but whereas others haven't been attending. So, it's timely for us to be, looking and reviewing that so that we can, because there are going to be more decisions being made, and we have to be able to go through them if we're going to be able to finish that report by Marrakesh.
Yeah. Even the draft report, and then we can sit together in Marrakesh and try to finalize it, an early draft report. But please, some more opinions. Somebody else who wants to make a comment concerning this item?
Actually, Marilyn, I have a question for the staff.
Go ahead, Marilyn. We can't hear you. Oh, I can't hear you.
I can't get a meeting room or other events, and I just wanted to be sure, is staff able to ensure that there would be the ability to get a working session of at least 3 to 4 hours in the four-day event? In the past, it's been, with this new meeting structure, it's been extremely difficult.
Yeah, practically impossible. Yeah, Marika, please.
Thanks, Erica. This is Marika. And to Marilyn's question, the way it works for the policy forum is that all requests need to go through an SO and AC in order to get space and time on the schedule allocated. So the way we're currently working this is through the GNSO, as you know, Erica, of course, hails from the council, and part of the support team comes from there as well. So we've been typically going through the GNSO and getting time on their schedule and you know, part of their room allocation for the meetings. And, you know, however, if other groups feel that they have, you know, plenty of time in the schedule or a meeting room available, we could, of course, work it as well through other groups. But I think we're still faced with, you know, that there are many other meetings taking place and there's only, you know, limited time and limited room available for the policy forum. So how we typically work is that basically, you know, the council leadership will look at all the requests from the different groups and the includes as well, you know, the policy development activities that are ongoing. But for the GNSO, it also includes GNSO stakeholder group and constituency activities. And again, I think everyone's requested really here for the policy forum, you know, to focus on policy activities and leave more, you know, other topics for either other meetings or for calls that may take place at other moments, and basically trying to fit that in into the schedule. Something that you need to factor in as well is that I think for the current policy forum, there I think 7 slots, if I'm not mistaken, set aside for cross-community or high-interest topic sessions, which basically means as well that a substantial amount of time may already be locked up for other meetings, and you know, usually we're not allowed to schedule against those. So that does, I think, give you a picture that, you know, it is a very reduced meeting and limited time. But as I said, you know, we have put this on the agenda. We have also indicated, you know, the request of having a longer slot, you know, kind of as long as possible. So we are hopeful that, you know, we're at least able to secure a 4-hour block. But as I said, you know, it's not, you know, it's not a staff decision. At the end of the day, you know, it will be a GNSO leadership decision, factoring in all the other meetings that are requested. And it may also need to factor in, you know, meetings that our other groups are scheduling. Because, of course, in this group, we have participants from all SOs and ACs. So ideally, and I know from the GNSO side, we're already working on this to have at least a draft schedule shared with other groups as soon as possible so that others can also factor in, you know, if we, for example, are able to carve out a set amount of time on Wednesday, that other groups are aware of that and make sure that they don't, you know, schedule something that's of particular conflict for those members that are participating in this effort as well. So that's where we're currently at. As I said, you know, from the GNSO side, I think we're very keen to have a draft schedule as soon as possible so it can help inform, you know, the discussions both on high interest topics, you know, are all of those needed or can some of that be liberated to focus on some of the topics, you know, like this effort, and also allow others to, you know, schedule around, you know, the meetings that are being planned so it doesn't conflict with schedules that each group is putting together themselves.
It's Erica. Marika, just one follow-up question. Do we have an idea when we will have such kind of overview about the possible and potential slots in Marrakesh? Is there a deadline for the GNSO when this has to be done?
Yes. So I think, and then I have to speak here from memory, I believe the deadline for meeting requests, I believe, is around the 27th of April. But as I said, you know, from the GNSO side, we're already working on a draft schedule because, again, also, you know, not only for this group, but I think as many of you are aware, you know, the EPDP is another effort where there's, you know, broad community interest and, you know, a group that wants as much time as possible. So we want to make sure that we're, you know, able to communicate at a very early stage, you know, the plans that are being made so that other groups can also factor that in into their scheduling. And hopefully a discussion can be held with the SO and AC leadership. And I think they have a call scheduled as well, you know, I think the 25th of April, if I'm not mistaken, to kind of talk about high-interest topic sessions and cross-community sessions. But as I said, I think, at least from conversations on the GNSO leadership side, I think they want to kind of start that, you know, sooner than that, especially to give people clarity and also be able then to indicate, you know, on the draft schedule how much time can be carved out. So all I can say is soon, but I can't put an exact date on it. And as I said, some of it is somewhat dependent as well on the conversations about how interest topic session, as well as the scheduling that's taking place in other groups.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this overview, Marika. And I see Joker is writing that the CCNSO has also started scheduling a high level draft schedule for the CCNSO, so, which is good. I mean, if we have these kind of information as early as possible, and we would know, we could either have an add-on day or we can have a long session, which would be even better, then we don't have to schedule an additional day. This would help us all. Xavier, I had seen you. Are you still there?
It's Sebastian, if I can join the queue, please. Thank you.
Sure, please go. But I just wanted to see if Xavier is still there. He raised his hand, and now I see it's not there anymore. Xavier? No?
No, thank you, Erica. I put my hand down.
Please go. Yeah.
No, thank you. I put my hand down. Marika addressed everything I was going to say and more.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Sebastian, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed part of the call because I was in a place with no phone, and I just joined when Marilyn talked about the meeting strategy. And the answer seems for me a little bit strange. Maybe it's the way it was implemented, but the goal of the meeting strategy working group a few years ago was to try to decrease the complexity of a meeting, and it seems that we have done the reverse, and it's a bad job. But if I remember well, the idea was not to have a single cross-community working group at one time. It was to have cross-community time. It was supposed to be the second part of the afternoon, whenever it's done. I can understand for the high-interest topic that it's without conflict with other meetings. But if we take a cross-community working group, I know that there are people who are doing everything and they will be in trouble. But for the rest of us who are concentrating one or two or three topics, usually it's not conflicting. Therefore, it could be possible to organize a cross-community working group like ours in parallel with others. And, of course, the other will have to decide which one they will follow. But I really think that I heard a lot of things about this meeting, and maybe it's time to review that, and I will be happy to participate to this review. But frankly, don't say that it's not possible to do and we are locked with everything. It could be more flexible than it is presented to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Stephen, is it an old hand? Okay, looks like it. So maybe I believe what I hear and what I see in the comments, I believe there's a tendency to work with the idea to have a longer session in Marrakesh and ideally to make progress and advance our report as much as possible so that we may have, and I'm very careful here, may have a very early draft, which we then can discuss in Marrakesh and can finalize in Marrakesh as much as possible. We then will still have to continue to work on it because we will receive new input and new questions may arise, hopefully not too many. And then we will continue to work on it after Marrakesh and finalize the report after Marrakesh. Ideally, we should set ourselves a deadline until we want to have it finalized, but we don't have to do it today. But maybe we can work with a schedule like 2 months after Marrakesh, something like this is reasonable. We will have to get signal from staff as well, Marika and Joker, because they have to carry the burden. And you will have to decide as well how much time do you need before we have the final consensus call, how much time you will need then to communicate again with your constituencies. And depending on, you know, the decision which you will make based on how much time you need and how much time staff needs, we then can set ourselves a second deadline. Does this sound reasonable? can we try this? And then we hopefully receive quickly as possible from staff a reply, you know, can we actually have a meeting and a longer meeting? I don't think so it's worthwhile to have a half an hour session again. It takes so much time until one can start, and each time you need to make an introduction because new people are participating, which is on one side wonderful, but it hinders us to make a lot of progress. So just an hour or 1.5 hour session is not really super helpful. Maureen, do you want to say something?
No, Erica, I was just agreeing with you.
Thank you so much. I like this. Everybody else is okay with this strategy? And then we have depending on what we hear from staff and how long the session can be in Marrakesh, we then can fine-tune our approach. We don't have to do it today, but I believe we have an understanding. In principle, we like to have an early draft, which we can hopefully finalize as much as possible in a longer session in Marrakesh, and then we give ourselves, again, time, depending on how much time you need to discuss this with your constituencies and how much time staff need. We give ourselves, again, time. Marika, I give you I can check in a moment what you want to say. I give you the floor in a second, and then you can just say to, and everybody can hear what you want to say. It's difficult to switch on the little computer I have with me. And I'm in Taipei, so I'm a little bit constrained about what I can see. I believe this is a quite good approach. Marika, please, you wanted to say something.
Thanks, Erica. This is Marika. I just wanted to ask the question. So I think it's great that, you know, people want to set a target, you know, an ambitious target to get the work done. But I think we haven't really discussed, you know, how we are going to get there. Does the group expect to kind of continue on the same schedule and same pace of work? And you know, as I've noted, you know, we did put together a schedule, but I don't think it aligns with the reality of how we've been able to progress work to date. So, you know, that would make it very challenging to actually meet that Marrakesh date to have a draft report. You know, is the group open to, you know, extending the duration of calls, you know, have additional calls, do more work on list? Or, again, I think we're just trying to get some clarity because it's really great to set a target and a goal, but if we don't align that with an increase in work and workload, I'm not really sure how, you know, realistic that target is going to be.
Absolutely, Marika, it's Erica. I wouldn't have forgotten this. I would have come to this. But it's good that you mentioned it. Yes. So if we can agree on this in principle, then we have to define how do we want to continue working. Do we want to have more calls? What I prefer, but I mean you might have totally different idea, shall we just prolong our twice-weekly calls, which would make it much easier, twice-monthly call, which would make it, in my eyes, easier? And can we continue by email working as well between these calls? Maureen, I saw your hand.
Into the chat, but I think that even just trying to progress is a little bit difficult at the moment. I think that when we were given assigned a task, for example, to develop draft language on universal acceptance, and Elliot just asked about whether, you know, like what sort of format that statement was required. I think that we just need a little bit more clarity on what the requirements are of the particular assignments that we're being given, so that we've got a better idea and can perhaps get the information back to you that you require. But I think that just getting started was something that we needed to get some clarity on so that we could to move forward. So, and, you know, as you say, it's just we just need to sort of like know what the requirements are so that, you know, when we're assigned something like this, that we can move ahead with it. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. It's an overburden for the whole community. The whole work is just too much. And, I mean, this is what we see as a result is, you know, we have decreased participation, and it's not just in this group. You only see high participation in some of the high, super high, you know, political topics, areas like EDPR. In the other areas, you know, a similar impact like what we experience. And I believe our group is still very, it's still high-end participant. I know that some are doubting it's high enough, but I believe it's still high, and it's a very committed team working on it. So anyhow, we will have to discuss this. Shall we test it? Shall we test to have maybe for a month calls for, let's say, reasonable time, maybe not 3 hours because one gets tired after a while, maybe 2.5 hours? Would this be something you could commit to? Would this be something you would believe you could manage? And then we have to look into the other questions as well. You just mentioned, Marwane, how can we get a commitment defined in such a way that people really know what they have committed to and how they can finalize the work? Marilyn put a similar point in the a commitment which was made to work by email on a particular commitment. She signed up, and then people apparently didn't show up and didn't continue working on it. I give you the floor in a second, but can we in principle agree for the next call we will have a longer session? And let's test us for the next two calls, and let's see if we can manage this. Would this be something you can commit the time to? Marilyn, go ahead.
Thanks. Marilyn speaking. I think it's kind of my fault that we didn't move forward because I didn't insist that somebody be appointed the lead, whoever it was, of the four of us. So let me own that responsibility. I will volunteer to say at least I'm going to coordinate the working call and the draft. And in the future, when we assign work, let's appoint a lead or two co-leads, and then they carry the responsibility to get that project content put forward. I think that will help the staff as well. I'm not very sympathetic to the idea that volunteers are running on volunteer fatigue, because when somebody really cares about a topic, fatigue is not really the issue. It may be overlap of events or competing events, but fatigue doesn't, in my view, if you are really committed to an event, then you a topic, then you're energized, you're not fatigued. But I don't think we can have calls, Erica, that are more than 2 hours.
I think
if we could go for a two-hour call and we assign work, and then if people don't deliver the work, we, you know, that tells us something. But I think we can make a lot of progress between now and Marrakesh. As I said earlier, I'm not supportive of trying to have a final product in Marrakesh. I think there won't be enough people there. But as you redefined it with having an early draft and then doing as much as we can and then finalizing post-Marrakesh, I feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Erica, thank you so much, Marilyn. I think we have a quite broad understanding between us. When I watch the chat room as well, Stephen is supporting it, Maureen, somebody else I saw, I believe it was Judith. So I believe we have an understanding. 2 hours, so let's agree upon 2 hours. I take you in a second, Sebastian. But I believe we have a principal agreement. 2 hours. If we don't like it and we see we can't manage it, we can always change it. So I have two people in the moment on the raising their hand, Marika and Sebastian. Marika, please.
Thanks, Erica. I wanted to respond to Maureen's question earlier, and I think also, you know, kind of in general. So, you know, the focus at the moment is for, you know, the group to determine, you know, what, if anything, needs to be changed in the initial report. You know, whether that's based on the comments that are provided, or, you know, further deliberations of this group. But that is kind of the focus, I think, for, you know, any action items that are assigned and any work that's undertaken. So in relation to that specific action item, I think the ask is there really, you know, look at the examples in the annex as well as the guidance that's provided in one of the annex and determine, you know, what changes, if any, are needed to convey this notion of, you know, projects that are already funded through the ICANN budget not being eligible in this exact same format for funding. I think that was kind of the gist of that conversation. So I think that's, you know, if people can have that in mind, you know, both when we deliberate on input or comments, and I think that's where we really need to drive, you know, all the kind of conversation towards is, you know, based on, you know, this conversation, what, if anything, needs to be changed in the initial report. And with that kind of guidance, it will then be as well, you know, easy or easier for staff to kind of go and do it and produce kind of a draft final report for you, because I think that's, you know, the current stage where we're at. So I hope that's, yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah, it's Erica. And to add to what Marika said, we, from the, based on a discussion we had, the leadership provided you with some kind of guidance concerning the possible changes. But these are, of course, only guidance, but they may help you as well in judging the comments we receive and how we potentially can respond to them. So we have practically done a kind of early, very, very, very early draft recommendation, but of course it needs to be discussed in this group and potentially be changed. So yes, thank you, Marika. Sebastian, please.
Thank you very much, Erica. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. Just to take one point, I agree with Marlene and with 2 hours. Staff need to check that there is no problem with other calls, because there are some calls we are rotating, we are not, and that creates some time trouble. One within at large, we have a group about policy, we rotate, and it's sometimes hurts the time we are. Therefore, if we extend it, it could change something, and there are some call about AT-3 who could also be in jeopardize. And except with this question, I agree to move to 2 hours. Thank you very much.
Yes, and I see a chat room discussion. Shall we, are we talking about weekly calls, or are we talking about twice in months? I believe we should keep the rhythm we have, but we should extend it to 2 hours each time. So we would have 2 calls in a month like we do right now, but instead of 90 minutes, we would have 120 minutes. I believe this is something we can manage, and we keep in mind that in between topics which we discussed and which still need further elaboration, then a small group may want to look into it and provide already answers to it after we discussed it, like the next topic we are debating in a minute, where Marilyn and the group already worked on a topic which we couldn't provide the answer at our last meeting. So they started working in a small group so that we can make quicker progress. I believe we have an understanding here. So we try to have a very early draft. In Marrakesh, we hope that we can have a longer session in Marrakesh so that we can continue working on this very early draft. And if we can get a longer session, we will then discuss how we continue working with a certain commitment, with a certain deadline we are able to define. And we agreed as well that we will continue the discussion after Marrakesh, depending on the time you need to consult with your constituency and the time staff needs. So it's not, we're not expecting to have a final draft in Marrakesh. And we agreed as well until Marrakesh, ideally, to have continue our calls twice a month, but instead of 90 minutes, 120 minutes. So, any other point missing with regard to this topic, Marika? Something which we need to discuss just to have of this discussion about this topic completed?
This is Marika. No, I think we have a game plan here. You know, we'll go ahead and schedule the next few calls for 2 hours, but we continue the rhythm of every 2 weeks. And again, you know, hopefully as well, we can focus our conversations to really hone in on what, if anything, needs to be changed as a result of the conversations in the final report. So I think we're good.
Wonderful. Perfect. Then I don't see something else popping up in the chat room. No hands raised. So let's continue then. Marika, I need to read you the next topic item. I can't read it. My screen, again, is not showing on the agenda item. So please be so kind to read it.
Yes, no problem. The next item is 4A, and I think we actually already covered that. It's in relation to the follow-up on the action items coming out of ICANN 64. Marilyn has already indicated that she will take the lead on that one. So hopefully that group will put something together that they can then share with the full group on the mailing list. And if needed, we can come back to it on the next call, or if anyone has any further, or if we can finalize on the mailing list, probably even better. So the next item is comment number one in relation to charter question number three. That was an action item for the CCWG to review the ICANN board letter that was sent, I believe it was in October, and reconsider during the next meeting whether or not to add the language proposed by the ICANN board in relation to that charter question. And I don't know if people had a chance to review this, but it goes to the point that the board has stated that they will not be taking decisions on individual applications, but will instead focus its consideration of the slate on whether the rules of the process were followed by the independent panel. So I think the question for the group is there any concern about adding that clarification to the report to make really clear what the board envisioned role is, or are there any concerns about doing so?
Thanks, Marika. It's Erica. I believe we should add this, but can you remind us and maybe even show us the context in the report where it would be added? Is there a natural place where we would add this? Can you just remind us, please, and maybe even are you able to show it?
This is Marika. I won't be able to show it because I think we need to see how the report comes together and where it fits best. But this is in relation to charter question three and the guidance that was provided in relation to the implementation phase. So I think it related to kind of the safeguards that would need to be put in place. And I think some of the comments, went to kind of questioned what role would the board have or what role would staff have in evaluating individual projects. And I think this is a kind of clarification that has been suggested that is added to really make clear what the role of the board, and I think similarly, and I think that was discussed as well in COBE, neither board nor staff would be evaluating or approving individual projects. So again, we probably need to see where that best fits, but I think if there's agreement that it would be helpful to add that clarification, staff can have a look to see where that fits best, and then of course you can still review or decide if it fits somewhere else better.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach. So my recommendation, and I believe leadership made the recommendation, if I remembered as well, we definitely should integrate this, the point raised by the board, we should integrate it into the report, and it would make it much easier and would avoid some of the discussion and the complications we had that either people were concerned about how independent will the future mechanism be, independent if it's in-house or if it is merged with a different entity or if it is in a foundation, because you remember many community members raised such kind of concerns about independence. And, of course, if staff, for example, it would be in-house and staff would review incoming and evaluate project, independence would be, of course, pretty much quite low. So I believe we definitely should do it, and we have a clear answer from the board, so we should integrate it. But I want to see if somebody wants to argue against it. Or do you more need more time to consider? Don't you recall the letter? Have you not seen it recently? And do you need a bit more time, maybe until the next call, to read the letter again and to consider your opinion about this? Judith is typing. I believe everybody is still tired from Kobe. So let's put this again, because it's such an important point, and we don't want to rush it through, and people maybe can't remember the letter. So let's put this again on the agenda item for next time. Marika, please.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. Yes, we can definitely do that, and you know, we can already reflect in the notes of this meeting, and you know, that in principle there was no objection, and also, you know, record that in the template that we're using for the comments, so you know, people
and
do have a chance to review that.
As well, in the summary which you sent out in the invitation as well, be so kind to attach the letter again.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay, then let's move forward, please. And I need you again to read it.
Thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So the next action item coming out of item 64 is the status of the FAQs. As you may remember, staff started to pull together different aspects of you know, the information that has been provided in relation to the legal and fiduciary requirements, as well as on the other side, you know, the input that the ICANN board has already provided. So from our side, we've actually, you know, pull that all together, but we've asked some of our staff colleagues to review this and make sure we haven't missed anything or any, you know, additional information that should be added. So I'm hoping that, you know, we're able to share those ahead of the next meeting, and, you know, hopefully that will be a helpful resource for the group as well as a helpful reminder of you know, some of the limitations that you know, that have been confirmed as a result of legal and fiduciary requirements, as well as the input that the ICANN board has provided through a series of letters.
You are talking, it's Erica, you are talking about the documentation we were talking about in Kobe. So this idea that you will summarize in a simple template format the questions and the answers we already received concerning the fiduciary and legal obligation. That's what you are talking about right now, yes?
Correct.
Yes. And so are you saying you will be able to do this until our next call?
This is Rick. I'm hoping we'll be able to share that, you know, before that through the mailing list. And again, it's more a collation of information that is already available in different documents. We're just trying to put that all together into two separate FAQs, one focused on the legal and fiduciary requirements and the other one on the board input provided. So we just want to make sure that we have everything complete. But as I said, I'm hoping we'll be able to share that prior to the next meeting.
It's Erica. This would be wonderful if you're able to do it. It's a lot of work. It's a huge amount of work. So if you are able to manage this until ahead of our next call, even if it's only, you know, 1 or 2 days ahead of the call, this would be fantastic. And it would make our work much easier, because it's always difficult to remember all the answers we received and to review documents and to find everything. it's immense work for everybody involved in this work. So thank you so much, Marika, for thinking you can manage this until ahead of our next call. Thanks so much. Okay, then let's take the next item. I don't see any hand raised. I don't see a comment concerning this topic. I believe we are fine. Let's just continue. Marika, you have to read. I can't read it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No problem at all. So that basically gets us to a kind of regular agenda to continue the review of the public comments through the templates that we've shared previously and have been working on. So we basically left off last time in charter question number 4 in relation to what aspects should be considered to define a time frame, if any, for the fund allocation. And we already reviewed comment number 4, and we basically left off at comment number, the next comment, which is comment number 7 from Anne Eichmann-Scalise, which said, the CCWD to consider in relation to recommendation number 7 that a mix of such grants should be determined by a professional grant-making organization. And maybe as a brief reminder, preliminary recommendation 7 says funding should be allocated in tranches over a period of years. Tranches may be used to fund large grants over a period of years or to support projects that could be funded in a shorter period. So, and comment specifically relates to that recommendation. So, again, there was no specific leadership recommendation associated with this comment. So, again, I think it's for the CCWD to consider, you know, what changes, if any, would need to be made based on the input provided.
Marika, it's Erika. Can I ask you something? Are you showing the text and the document?
Yes, what you see in the...
I can't see anything because I just got a request that some kind of certificate is not valid any longer. So something happened in a moment on the document. So I can't see anything. It's just I can still see if somebody raises their hand, and I can see the chat room. But everything else is gone in a moment from Adobe. So I can't see the questions, and I can't see the review template, which is fine. As long as I can see the if somebody wants to make a comment, it's fine. But you just have to recognize that I can't see the text.
Okay, yeah, no problem, and hopefully everyone else will be able to see it. You know, the template was also attached to the agenda that we sent out on Monday.
I can't move back and forward, and I can't see the other information anymore, and I can't monitor it. So can you just repeat again the decision which has to be taken here, just the key part?
Yeah, thanks, Erica. So basically, Anne is commenting on a preliminary recommendation that the group made in relation to, you know, allocating tranches of funds and you know, whether that's to kind of larger projects or smaller projects. She basically knows that, you know, the mix of such grants should be determined by a professional grant-making organization. So this mix between, you know, funding large projects or funding small projects or a combination thereof, and she's suggesting that a professional grant-making organization should be determining how that mix should look.
Okay. Any comments with regard to this topic? Anybody still on the call, or have we lost you all?
Erica, we're still on the call.
You're still on the call. I'm happy. I'm relieved. And I see somebody is typing. Yulf is typing, I believe. No comment? Okay, if there's no comment, I believe we just leave it like it is. Just leave the text as it is, the original version. Stephen is typing. Yeah, but I can't see him. Maybe I lost the context to the chat room as well. I can see that people
Erica,
are typing, but I can't see a text showing up.
Yeah, Erica, this is Marika. I can maybe help you there. Comments from Stephen and you have both agreed to leave the text as is and are fine with the current text.
Thank you so much. So let's do this.
Okay, thanks. We'll make note of that. So the next comment is from the registry stakeholder group, and they note that the CCWG to consider implementation that permits continued and efficient allocation of funds that become available in the future, for example, by setting up an independent entity to manage these funds or transparently determining how auction proceeds would be allocated prior to the auction. And then the leadership recommendation here is, feedback is this idea goes against our original goal, identify a mechanism for one-off funding model. Insofar, we should not extend our goal, but if supported by the CCWG AP, we can propose to reevaluate this option after one or two review cycles and after one understands better how successful the second selected mechanism is.
Yeah. It's Erica. So I wrote this recommendation based upon of discussions we had with experts, in particular Nominet, but I believe some others as well, and I have personal experience in this field too. What happened actually quite frequently that after a few years, certain mechanisms are regarded as that people which are running these kind of funds believe they should change the environment, and it's often because of very different reasons. Nominet, I believe, was arguing that they can handle this much easier in-house instead of the past framework they had selected. But there are different reasons, so I believe it's not a topic we should discuss right now. We should stick with our original concept. But, of course, if in the future the mechanism we recommend is not the best and not the most appropriate anymore, then a new CCWG or any kind of other structure and discussion can emerge and a new mechanism can be selected. I don't believe that would be at least my recommendation. We should reconsider this topic. So my chat room came up again, but not the centerpiece is still dead.
Erica, this is Marika. Don't worry about it. I think the conversation in the chat is about something else, about migration to Zoom, not about the actual comments.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody is against that we stick to our original proposal? I believe we have a commitment from the group. Otherwise, somebody would say something. Okay, let's move forward. And I can see the chat room again. I believe we have an agreement. Okay, let's move forward. Marika, please, back to you.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. So this actually wraps up the comments in relation to charter question number four. So I'll pull up now the questions in relation to charter question and number five for those that can see Adobe Connect. And as a reminder, charter question five relates to the question, what conflict of interest provisions and procedures need to be put in place as part of this framework for fund allocations? The first comment here, or actually the only comment that requires further discussion, is the one identified by the ICANN board, which note the CCWG is to ensure that the mechanism recommended upholds avoidance of conflicts of interest at every phase as one of its primary principles. And I think this is actually as well an area that, if I remember correctly, in the FAQ, some further guidance has been provided in previous letters. And I don't know if any of the board liaisons would like to further speak to the specific point.
It's Erica, and I believe we had a discussion about this topic in Kobe, if I remembered as well. And we already had an internal discussion about it in saying that we do understand that depending on the mechanism and depending on people involved and evaluators involved, the level of potential level of conflict of interest would for each level and for each sphere would have to be defined and strengthened. I believe we had discussed this already. The question is just how do we want to integrate it? Is there a recommendation, Marika, from the leadership team concerning this topic?
This is Marika. No, there isn't.
Okay. So one item would be we could put this in the guidelines. We could make a strong recommendation in the guideline that the implementation team would have to look into this. So we would make a strong recommendation, but then the implementation team, based on how they implement our the total of our recommendations, they would, in reality and in practice, would have to reevaluate the different level of safeguarding the conflict of interest environment. Is one way how we could do it. Marilyn is writing conflict of interest. I have not found that the existing call of icon, I can't read it. It's gone again. And just for the technical team, maybe, Andrea, just for you maybe to note that we need to look in the, into this, why I can't see Adobe. It shows me always a little window, and in the window I see the SSI certificate for this site is invalid. So maybe there is something which either I have to do, but I have downloaded Adobe, and I have it running for other purposes as well. Typically, I never see this. Or it is something which relates to something I can must do that I'm able to see the page.
Erica, just to know that Marilyn has her hand up.
Yeah, I see Marilyn, and I see comments in the chat room. Thank you so much for helping me, Marika. Marilyn, please.
Thanks. Marilyn here. I just wanted to be clear. When I said that existing conflicts of interest for ICANN, for the community, staff, or board, I don't find them sufficient for a grant distribution mechanism, that doesn't mean I don't find them sufficient for the purpose for which they're intended. I just want to be clear about that, right? Being a grant distribution mechanism is very different, and so I don't want us to look at the existing conflict of interest processes within ICANN, but I think that we can clearly recommend to the implementation team that they do more examination of what are appropriate and effective conflict of interest practices. And I think I'm just reading, I think Sam agreed, and I think also Maureen also agreed that we focus for the conflicts of interest on the grants distribution activities. Very different from what ICANN does within its own processes. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Erica, totally agree. I think we have a broad understanding here. So somebody has to do the drafting for the recommendation for the guidelines, for the implementation team. And maybe we, to make it easier, somebody who wants to do the drafting, or shall we just from the leadership team send you a draft proposal?
Erica, not sure if you can read the chat, but Marilyn noting, putting a recommendation into the implementation team works for me.
Yeah.
And
okay, then let's do the, we put this on our call from the leadership team, and we will make a proposal and we'll send this to you. Okay, Marika, let's move forward. I see confirmation from, I believe, Carolina as well.
Yeah, and she actually, Carolina has actually a specific suggestion, and perhaps we can reinforce our recommendation language to say robust conflict of interest provisions must be developed and put in place at every phase of the process, regardless of which mechanism is ultimately selected. So it's basically adding the, you know, at every phase of the process as an addition to the current language to clarify that. And
yeah,
there's a support for that addition, so we can take
note
of that.
Yeah, and I see support is coming in. I see Maureen is supporting it, and Marilyn. Thank you so much, Carolina. That's super helpful. So then we have practically already a draft proposal, and maybe we then can just, staff can just put this together in a complete sentence, and we have a draft proposal. Thank you so much, Carolina. Marika, do we still have time? Yes, we do have a few minutes. Just let's take the next item, please.
Yep. So I'm just moving over to charter question number six. Waiting a minute for that to come up. So charter question number six relates to the question, should any priority or preference be given to organizations from developing economies, projects implemented in such regions, and or underrepresented groups? So the first comment here is from Anne Eichmann-Skillies, and she notes the CCWG to consider reviewing the role of applicant support in ICANN's mission and develop specific guidelines for a third party in mechanism B. And the leadership recommendation here is to check, shall this be done at all in this phase or the next phase, the implementation phase, and be included in implementation guidelines in case we come to the conclusion to do the drafting in the implementation phase.
Okay. Somebody who would like to comment on this one? Maybe somebody who is supporting this idea? Marilyn?
I'm going to be very cautious about the idea of inclusion and exclusion, and I want to explain why. Right now, countries can be countries, I don't mean stakeholder groups, but countries, can be designated as least developing. There's about, I think it's over 50 of them. SIDS, small and island developing nations. And WEOG, but even in the WEOG countries, for instance, in Canada and the United States, there are categories of groups that are in the indigenous family of tribes, and they would be excluded if we take a very, very strict idea about who can apply. So I'd like to be focused more on the basis of who can benefit from the project as opposed to where the proposer is from. I'll give one final example. It could be that people from those who are a project is submitted from Kenya, which is not in a developing country, but is advancing engagement with the Maasai. And if we limit who can apply, then I think we are ignoring the different uniqueness of those who can take benefit from these funds to include, to meet and contribute to ICANN's mission.
Yeah, it's Erica. I'm looking to the chat room. I do agree. So in the funding environments I have participated in, and, but I must admit they have been much larger. So the typical approach I have seen where are two-folded. So either they work with a basket approach, so in case they want to target certain topics or they want to target certain regions, they selected a basket approach. So they would, for example, say $30 million are reserved for projects from developing or least developed countries. So they would be quite precise. But if the total amount would be then, let's say, $500 million, then $30 million would be reserved. Or a different approach is it's defined by topics, and the topics are defined in such a way that practically they are only applicable for projects in certain developing regions or least developed regions. So there are different approaches how to do it. But I am a bit doubtful as well, as this is helpful. I believe we already mentioned, if I remember this right, that attention shall be paid to all potential participants from, and I believe we even mentioned developing country, if my memory is correct. So if we haven't done it, we could notice somewhere, we could mention somewhere in the concept in our introduction how important it is that we are inclusive and that everybody feels they can participate if they fulfill the missions and the criteria, et cetera, which we have laid down. So I tend to agree with Marilyn's approach. But let's hear how other feels about it. Judith is saying focus on the consent side. Daniel, it's not Daniel, it's Rudy. Apologize for joining late. Jan Jolf is supporting it. Judith as well. Moen, perhaps the wording does not be altered. Yeah, that's similar to what I said. I agree with you. Yeah. So I think the to-do is check, have we covered that we want to be all-inclusive, so we should check the language if we have mentioned this somewhere, but otherwise we don't accept this proposal. Marika, is this clear enough?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Erica. We'll capture that in the notes.
Yeah. Okay. The next topic, is it possible to manage in 2 minutes? Can you oversee this, Marika, or is it a more problematic item?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think we can try, at least, you know, the leadership recommendation here is that the same approach as you've just taken for number three may apply. So if that easy, we may be able to do that. But I'll read the comment. It's from the ICANN board. And basically, in summarized version, notes that the CCWG to consider adding language for the implementation team on how to best support applications from diverse backgrounds.
Okay.
And if I can maybe just note, there's a comment from Carolina in the chat, which I think relates to the previous comment. And Carolina, you can correct me if I'm wrong. She noted that my read of the comment was different. The recommendation is about mechanism B, ICANN plus external org. I think the fear is that an external organization would not have a clear sense for what orgs are close to ICANN and supporting its mission.
It's Erica. I can't judge this because I would have to go back to the original document, and I can't do it right now, and I can't see anything on the screen. So let's then come back to this point next time again when we all had a chance to review it and I had a chance to see the text, which I just can't do right now. Okay. And Caroline, this related to the previous point, yes? Oh, I see you already responded to it. Okay, so let's take this item up again next time. And until then, I will have a chance to read the document again, and you all will have a chance as well to do it. So we recall the last item, and we continue our next call with the previous topic. Marika, can you just summarize the things which we have to do? The action items, please.
Thanks, Erica. And maybe I can actually hand it to Yoko, who's been capturing the notes, and maybe she can summarize the action items.
Hi, Marika. Thanks for this. Let me scroll up in the notes. So I've noted a few action items, the first one being regarding when people join the AC room, that members and participants are to include behind brackets whether they are a member or a participant, and for members to specify their appointing organization. And this helps to have an overview of the affiliation. So that's the first action item. The second one is regarding Charter question number 3 and the ICANN board letter. There's a clarification to be added to the report. It was recognized that there was no, in principle, no objection to adding this clarification, but it is to be discussed again during the next meeting due to its importance, and the letter is also to be circulated again to the cross-community working group. Action item number 3 relates to the status of the FAQs, and staff will follow up regarding this via the auction proceeds mailing list. Then we have an action item regarding the conflict of interest, and charter question number 5. The leadership team should formulate some language based on the suggestion that Carolina put in the chat. And those are all the action items that I noted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I believe concerning, it's Erica, concerning the topic, concerning the board language and how it shall be integrated, I believe we said we may have to do an evaluation once we have finalized the early draft report and then do an evaluation and select the best location for it. But just go and review the how it was discussed, the recording, and then maybe you are clear about how we would like to see this topic to be shaped out.
Thank you, Erica. I will make a note of this. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Erica. Okay, back to you, Marika. You have to remind us about our next call, and then we can conclude. If there's no other topic on the agenda, we can conclude the call today.
Thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So next meeting will be in 2 weeks' time, so that will take us to the 10th of April, and we'll extend the call to 2 hours.
Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. And back to you, Andrea, and let's hope I can sort this out why it's not working anymore, Adobe, on my screen. Until next time. Thank you so much, everybody. Andrea,
thank
you. Back
this
to
concludes
you.
Today's, thank you. This concludes today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.